Great. So, yeah, I'm really, I don't know, even this morning, most of what you heard, we've got it's not a normal Sunday. We've got a baptism Sunday. There's seven people that's getting baptized this morning, so it's beautiful. And for me, like, it's honestly such a special moment always when there's baptisms, because it's, again, this morning, I feel God is constantly, like, reminding us to break away from subtly things creeping in our hearts, like it's just something we do, but back to the place of being reminded about the value and the importance and like the celebration. Like, it's a testimony. It's a testimony this morning of not, okay, cool, we did the course, or we convinced people. That's not the testimony. The testimony this morning is God Himself has convicted hearts, has touched hearts, and there was a response from the living God who did something in these seven people's hearts. And for every one of you who have been baptized, think back about that moment. Why did you get baptized? Why did you say, yes, I want to get baptized? Can we just have that gratefulness in our heart again to say, Jesus, it's because I know that I know you. I met the living God. It's not like, cool, it's something we do in church, but there was a response from our heart, like, it's a testimony of a living God touching people's lives. Is it, like, does it make sense what I'm saying? Today, it's like, yes, Lord, we're celebrating a living God that touched our hearts. And we're celebrating because it's not that they're going to get baptized because Jesus has already done something in their hearts. For me, it's a beautiful celebration. So, yeah, it's a really a special day. And just quickly, here's a couple of reasons. Like, I had this question, okay, so why do we get baptized? And often I like to look at just a couple of things why we don't do it. And it almost helps to emphasize what the value is in it, if that makes sense. So just a couple of reasons we don't get baptized. Like I mentioned, it's not just a religious to-do list. It's not just the nice Christian thing to do. It's not because my friends has done it. It's not because my parents or people has this expectation of me to do it. It's not because now God will be proud of me or I've arrived in a certain way with God to do it. That's not the reason. There's many other reasons we don't do it. But I want to look at the scripture. Acts 2 verse 36 to 41. And it's the moment, and I'm sure all of you know the scripture very well. It's the moment where Peter preached the gospel in Jerusalem. It's the moment where church started. So we are gathered here as a church. This is the moment church started around 2,000 years ago. Beautiful moment. Peter preached the gospel. They realized, listen, we have crucified the one, the Savior. We actually killed him. And they had this realization, shucks, we need to repent. It's truly the Savior that gave his life, that died for us. So it's the day where 3,000 people, the first time the gospel was preached, after Jesus has been risen from the grave. Imagine this moment. The first time the gospel was preached, it was Pentecost moment, they were filled by the Spirit. The gospel was preached for the first time after Jesus rose from the dead. And in that moment, 3,000 people responded. But listen to this, it's beautiful. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. It's like the end of the preach. You can read the whole chapter. And then it says, then the people heard this in Jerusalem. They heard this. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? There was this moment. There was this conviction, this cutting to the heart of the Holy Spirit, like, I realize, I see this, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Like, what now? What shall I do? Okay, and Peter replied, repent. We need to repent, okay, of our sins. There's a realization I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm not my own Savior. I can only be saved through what Jesus has done. And be baptized. It's almost like, I don't know about you, but in our culture, there was some way, and you can actually go into the history where it explains this, but it's like baptism for some reason was separated from almost the gospel, where it's like this thing that crept into churches in weird ways, but the baptism was actually like a key central part of the gospel. There was like it, repent, be baptized. That's what we see in the Bible. It's not like, okay, repent, and then later on when certain things in this is in place, maybe you can get baptized. It's like, it's. Can you see that? It's like, it's together. Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Yesterday I felt a bit better because often we've preached too long, but the other translation said, and he continued to preach for a long time. And I was like, okay, it's okay. Every now and then there's an exception to preach for a long time. But anyway, that's not every now and then, if God is in it. Those who accepted his message were baptized. So there's an acceptance. There's a, I choose to accept this message. We're baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. What a beautiful moment. And the fact that we can hear this morning is because of that moment. I want to just emphasize this one thing and then one more scripture. Luke 5, verse 31 to 32 says this. It's, I don't know, the scripture has just been stuck with me for such a long time. Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's this beautiful thing where our old identity, I can't know what my new identity in Jesus truly is without knowing what's my old identity. But does that make sense? It's like the example I said, why not to get that baptized? For me, I know when I accepted Jesus into my life, there's a new identity, and that's beautiful for us. A reminder for all of us this morning as we accept Jesus into our hearts. But even the baptism today will be a picture of it's an old identity. It's like who I used to be before I met Jesus is completely submerged. Like I'm dead as I go into the water, and as I come out of the water, it's a new identity in Christ as sons and as daughters. Okay? But Jesus says there, I did not come for those who think they're righteous. I'm okay. He says, I've come to those where there's a realization, Jesus, without you, I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. That's like, there needs to be a thing in our heart like, Jesus, without you, I do realize I'm in big trouble. Hell is a reality. But we can also know Jesus has saved us and he has called us. And that's where we find our righteousness, not in what we've done or what we haven't done. Grace is beautiful. Grace actually leads us to righteousness. It's not this bad thing that has crept into the world where it's this license to sin. It's not a license to sin. The Bible says true grace will lead us to righteousness. It's like I have such a realization what grace means. It's like, I've been given something that I can never earn. And surely, if I can realize it's eternal life, there should be a gratefulness in the heart to say, Lord, my life belongs to you. Does that make sense? Beautiful. Then last scripture, I think it's the last one, Colossians 2, verse 11 to 15. What a beautiful scripture about baptism. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. It's a spiritual circumcision. Having been buried with him in baptism, it's like as Jesus is the picture, like baptism in the scripture, there's a picture that the Bible tells us about Jesus that died and rose again. And it's the same picture that God gives us today with baptism, being buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith. So it's through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sin. So as you guys are coming out of the water, he did not just forgive you for some of your sin. May you like choose today to set it into your heart, because you know what? The enemy will come and say, yes, but do you remember when you did this? Let me ask this. For everyone who's been baptized, who has felt the accusations of the enemy in your life, but remember, okay, you see, he comes and he's like, he's an accuser. But today might be a reminder to choose that Jesus says, as we get baptized and he forgave all our sin that we've ever done, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Is that the last one? Awesome. So what a beautiful scripture just on today. And I want to just share this story quickly and then the last scripture before we're going to end and then go outside for the baptism. So this is a story I just heard many years ago, and it's based on apparently like a true story. So don't. But anyway, like the story, the heart of the story, and I've shared this many times just because for me it's so beautiful. And it's a picture for me of just maybe in this picture we can just have a deeper realization again of this, like the beautiful thing that Jesus has done for us on the cross. So the story, and it's, like I said, it's based on a true story. It's about two small brothers. So the youngest brother, he had a very rare blood disease, and he was very sick. So in hospital, they told the little boy's parents, listen, your son has only a short time left, and if he doesn't get like a very specific procedure with a blood transfusion, if I'm correct, he's going to die. Like he's not going to make it. So they obviously looked for the specific type of blood, and many people, but they couldn't find the blood that was needed to help this little boy to save his life. And then what happened, they found out, but his older brother, he had the blood that was, you know, needed, the right blood to give to his brother. So the parents obviously were so grateful. So they went to the little brother, the parents, and they, you know, explained to him, listen, you know, and you've seen your little brother, your small brother, he's been sick and he's in hospital. We know you're worried, but we've got good news. So we can take your blood, and the doctors can take your blood, and we can give it to your brother, and he will be fine. Is it fine with you? You know, just to like, and he said, yes, please, you can do that. I just want my little brother to be okay. I don't want him to die. I love him so much. They did the procedure, and when everything was done, the older brother, he was crying, and the parents were confused. They were like, why are you crying? You don't have to cry. It was a success. Your brother's going to be fine. Your small brother is okay. He's going to live. And he said, yes, I know. I'm so glad that he's going to be fine. I'm just crying because I'm scared. And they asked, but why are you scared? Everything is fine. And he said, no, I'm just scared because I'm going to die now. And the parents were confused, and they asked him, but why? And he said, no, because I gave my blood to my brother. He thought and he understood. He was literally giving his blood to his small brother. So he was willing to die for his smaller brother to live. There's a scripture in John 15. For me, that's the gospel. John 15, verse 13 says this. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That little boy was willing to literally lay down his life for his brother. And I think we've become callous with what Jesus has done for us. It's where David wrote after he sinned. He wrote a psalm and he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. It's when we forget the incredible, incredible love that Jesus has shown for us on the cross by giving his life. We become numb and callous. I don't know, I've become like that. So this morning, may this baptism also remind us about the greatest love there's ever been. God, who created us, who has planned us, who knows us, who's so great and so mighty, and he was blameless. He never sinned. Imagine, he took the form exactly like us. He felt the anxious. He felt the betrayal. He felt the, like all this stuff. Whatever you feel that's painful and challenging, he felt that. The difference was we have all sinned because of those things many times. Jesus has never sinned, never, ever sinned. And he said, still I choose to lay down my life for you so that if you believe in me, I want to call you my friend. Isn't that so beautiful? My prayer this morning is, may we just be so grateful again that we can be a friend. It's not so that you can be in a religious, good, okay place. It's like, I want to be your friend. Relationship. I want to be your father, your comforter. It's like he's called us to intimacy with relationship with him.